Okay. Good morning, everybody. I know that it's difficult to start out like that, and gave a lot of thought and prayer into how and when and where to do that. And Mother's Day didn't seem like the best in our human timing, but we have to follow where God leads. But I also petitioned the Lord, and I said, Lord, I know that we're teaching through Ezra and Nehemiah, but can I instead, because we don't always do this, for Mother's Day, can I take a detour from the message in Ezra and teach one specifically on mothers? And given that the chapter that we're on in Ezra is all about it's all about intermarriage and talks about leaving your wife behind if she's not of pure, you know, I thought, you know, that's difficult enough, and today may not be the day to teach that message. So thankfully, the Lord gave me permission to take a little detour. So we're going to teach today. It's going to be a message on mothers. Mother's love is a glimpse of God, and I truly believe that. So we're going to go that way. It's going to be a little different than the expository way that we normally teach, so bear with us. It's different. But I also wanted to point out something. This is an incredible praise report in the midst of everything. Pastor Epaphras out there in Tanzania, our congregation that's out there, the outpouring of your generosity has blown my mind beyond belief. We have raised around $4,000 for Pastor Epaphras. Yes, and that's all you. That is all you, and that's God's faithfulness, and then you're listening to that, listening to God's leading, and being faithful to that. Honestly, we looked up how much he wanted, three mattresses and a little bit to replace the food and stuff that was damaged in the flood that they had over in Tanzania. And mattresses over there, we found out you can get a pretty decent mattress for a couple $100s. And then a little bit of food. So about maybe $700 would have probably filled all of their needs. But you guys came through above and beyond. So we're going to be getting that together and saying, by the way, the giving for that is closed now. We want to make sure that we do this in bite-sized, reasonable pieces. So that we'll, if we need more, if he needs more, the church needs more in the future, we will come back and revisit that. But we're going to get that off to him. We'll probably do that Tuesday. We'll wire that directly over and bless them. And he knows it's coming. So Pastor Epaphras, that's from the hearts of these people, straight to you. So, all right. Okay, so let's get into the message now. I want to acknowledge that Mother's Day can be extremely difficult for some. It seems like some that's automatically was like, sure, we're all going to celebrate and everybody wants a flower and everybody's, you know, going to go out to brunch. Who here has brunch reservations already, by the way? Okay. Brunch at home is different than reservations. Reservations, I'll be cognizant. I'll try and get you out of here so you're not missing your brunch reservations. But if you've been going here for a while, you know not to plan on me being finished at any particular time, right? But Mother's Day can be hard. You know, prayers hoped for, prayers prayed with your heart that have not been fulfilled yet can cause heartache. Sometimes it's the reminder of a loss and a broken heart. Mother's Day that looks different than you had hoped it would look this year. Difficult family relationships, or maybe lack of family relationships at all. Maybe it's the reminder of seasons past, kids that aren't in the home anymore. For a lot of reasons, it can be difficult. But I really pray that this message today would give life, no matter where you are, that this message would give life and help to heal some of the pain in some way at all. I found a series of quotes. I'm going to share with you a series of quotes. Lots of scripture, because this is Discover, after all. You're going to get lots of scripture. But there's a few quotes that I wanted to share with you. The first one is this. It's Rudyard Kipling. A lot of you have probably heard of him. God cannot be everywhere, and therefore he made mothers. Now, on some level, theologically, I differ with that. But the sentiment is there. And there's some truth to it, right? A mother's love, I think, was meant to be a glimpse of God's love for us all. It's as close as we as human beings, I think, can come to seeing that relationship between a mother and a child and what God meant it to be as a reflection of his love for us. There are very few things on earth that approach that. And we see it in biological moms, stepmoms, foster moms, surrogate moms, spiritual mothers, mother figures, grandmothers. It's all there. And God has gifted them with a special heart for him. And that heart just reflects onto us. And you don't have to be a mother or have a perfect relationship with your mother, because a lot of times holidays like this are difficult because my mom wasn't like that at all. And that's unfortunate when that happens, but that's also the enemy's design to twist and crush those things that are a reflection of God's character. He does that all the time. And so the relationship between a mother and her children is no different than that. But God's word says that all creation testifies to his glory. You've heard that scripture, right? All of creation. That's Romans 1:20. It says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, being understood by what has been made, so that they are without excuse." That includes the calling and the blessing of motherhood. Absolutely, is a reflection of God's character to us. Motherhood is in fact inseparable from the very story of all creation. Who is the first mother in the Bible? Eve, that wasn't a trick question. Come on, it was Eve. It was Eve. But we know how things went. This isn't a Garden of Eden teaching. I'm not going there. But Genesis 3:16, to the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall deliver children." That's a curse that came in through the original fall. But despite the pain and difficulty of childbirth, women still willingly enter into that calling. They subject themselves willingly to this curse of pain because they understand the blessing of what lies beyond. There are very few women who go all the way up to and through childbirth without an understanding that it's not going to be a pleasant experience. And yet they do it anyway. John 16:21, "Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been brought into the world." In other words, even though she knows that someday the blessing of that child will inevitably cause pain. Sometimes that's emotional pain, sometimes it's physical pain, but in many ways that pain can make childbirth seem easy in comparison. I know some of you have probably experienced pain like that. But this is the first reflection of God that we find in mothers. 1 John 4:9 says, "By this the love of God was revealed in us, that God has sent his only Son into the world so that we may live through him." And Jesus Christ, as part of the triune nature of God, was present with God from the very beginning. And yet, God knew that when the proper time came, he would send his Son to endure unspeakable pain and torture and crucifixion. But he still sent him on our behalf. Still sent him for us. Mothers embrace that curse of the immediate pain and the knowledge that there may well be future pain, so that we can be born. And Christ embraced that pain also, so that the rest of us could be reborn. John 16:22 says, "Therefore you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one is going to take your joy away from you." We have that assurance and that promise. So another way that God's love is reflected in a mother's love and a direct glimpse of God's love for us all is the nurturing character of moms. Moms can nurture their children in a way that dads very rarely do, right? I don't know if I've ever heard a mom say, just rub some dirt on it. But that's dad's go-to, right? Both effective in their own way, but maybe not quite as nurturing. Mothers reflect God's design of the church to nurture a new creation. And God's design for the church to nurture a new believer in Christ and help them to mature through lifelong discipleship. And it starts with the mother. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he grows older, he will not abandon it. When a mother nurses or feeds her new child, she is its primary source of life and growth. And at some point, once that child is grown, the church becomes responsible for nurturing that growth. 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8 says, but we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. In the same way, we had a fond affection for you, and we are delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. That's how we nurture those relationships, especially with newer believers or with each other. We should be near and dear to one another and not do this out of duty, but because we understand the life that comes from it. The Word of God is our source of life and of growth once we get to the point where we're old enough to understand it. Until then, our mother shares that. And it may be not always in words, but in character and in action, we see that. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness. Does that sound like things a mother does with her little ones? So that the man or woman of God may be fully capable, equipped for every good work. See, to the young and immature, sometimes that nurturing can feel confining and smothering. Anybody have kids when you're trying to nurture them? They're like, stop it, mom. All of you, I guarantee. It can feel confining and smothering, but in fact, sometimes it protects you from yourself, right? And that's what the Word of God does. Galatians 3:24 through 26 says this, before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being confined for the faith that was destined to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our guardian to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we're no longer under a guardian, for you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's an exact parallel between a mother guarding her children, raising them up in the way they should go, guarding their hearts, raising them in the right direction. And sometimes a mom has to be the law, right? I'd say in a good relationship, it's maybe 50-50, but there are days when it's 90% law and 10% nurture. But whatever is necessary, you do it out of a heart to protect your children. And the law does that for us until the Word of God came, and through faith to set us free. So another way that mothers reflect God's love is that they're often the first teacher of faith that a child will receive. Often. We see this in Scripture. It happens all the time. There's one where Paul, it's in 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul commends Timothy for his faith while also recognizing its natural source. 2 Timothy 1:5, he says, for I'm mindful, these are the words of Paul, for I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelled in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well. That's quite a shout out for Paul to mention them by name. But he recognized that that was the origin of that faith that Timothy had. We know that Jesus is the true origin of all faith and continues to grow and perfect that in us. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. All faith, including a mother's faith, is a gift from above. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourself, it's a gift from God. Mothers reflect that faith. They can instill that faith in their children, but ultimately is a gift that comes from God. So another way that mothers reflect God is that mothers were made to be our first source of earthly comfort. God promises to be our eternal comfort. And there's a quote, another quote, this one's from Victor Hugo. He said, a mother's arms are made of tenderness, and children sleep soundly in them. It's a very simple quote, but it is so true. But God's word says in Isaiah 66:13, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. He's recognizing that the model for a mom's comfort to her children is the way that God comforts his people, the way that he promises time and time again in Scripture to comfort us, and that a mother's comfort for her children is a reflection of that. So mothers are our first. Think about all the things that Scripture says that the Lord God is. In fact, different names for him reflect these different parts of his character and of Christ. But mothers are our first teachers. They're our first physicians. They're our first disciplinarians, providers, protectors, counselors. And in the very beginning, our Creator. Only women have been given the ability to create life within them. And that life is in the image of God. That is a special gift. Create life in the image of God. Both the physical image and the spiritual image. Psalm 139:13 says, for you created my innermost parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. The Bible is so full of moms who exhibited these traits. I mean, I could have gone down. There were dozens and dozens of stories of just great moms in Scripture. But I want to tell you, this one doesn't get acknowledged a lot, at least not in my experience. It's the mother of Moses. Anybody know the story of the mother of Moses? Some of you do, but it's hard to even figure out what her name is, because she's not really mentioned by name, at least not in Exodus when this is happening. We find out later in other scriptures, in other books of the Bible, in Numbers to be specific, what her name is. Her name is Jochebed. Her name is Jochebed. And Jochebed, we hear about in Exodus 1 as the mother of Moses. There's actually five women in this story that are examples of godly character and listening and being obedient to what God calls. And Exodus 1 tells us a story about how Pharaoh starts to worry that that the Hebrews are growing too rapidly. There's getting to be too many of them, and eventually they're going to overwhelm Egypt. And so he issues a decree that all Hebrew boys should be killed at birth. This is why we see in a few verses in Scripture where Jochebed hides the baby Moses, right? You wonder, anybody ever wonder, like, why did she feel like she had to set her baby free in the river just to float randomly wherever the waters took him? It was because there was already a decree in place that the boys are to be killed. But this boy survived. And this boy survived because there were some midwives who were tasked with actually being the ones who carried out, if it's a boy, go drown it in the river. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. And so they stood up against what Pharaoh said. In fact, having to create some little misdirection to do it. But bottom line, Moses was born, and it took 3 months where Moses' mother, Jochebed, was hiding Moses, hoping that she could figure out some way to smuggle him out of the country or keep him alive or something. And she began to realize that that wasn't going to happen. She was in danger of getting found out. And if she did, her baby boy would surely die. So she takes Moses down to the river and puts him in a basket and sets him free in the basket while her sister, I believe it's her sister, kind of stands off to the side and watching, like, I'm gonna watch where the basket goes. But in faith, Jochebed put her baby in this basket and just pushed her baby out into this river, the very river that only 10 feet below probably contained hundreds of bodies of boys that had already been thrown in there. But in faith, she set her boy out there. And then we find, of course, we know the story where it's actually Pharaoh's daughter who finds the boy and wants to adopt him, but she hasn't been pregnant, so she can't nurse the boy, so she has to find somebody to nurse the boy. And who does she randomly find but Jochebed come in and nurse this boy? I'm sure it was quite an introduction. Let me show you this baby that I just found. Can you imagine trying to hide your joy? We only learn of the birth of the birth mother of Moses through this genealogy that's found in Numbers, but we also see that in Hebrews, it declares Jochebed to be a pillar of faith, an example of faith for her to set her baby free. This is how it relates to moms. Sometimes moms have to let their babies go into dangerous places, knowing that they've reached the end of what they can provide for that baby, and that child needs to grow beyond. And so in faith, she set the baby free in the river. Mothers take that same leap of faith every time they let their babies leave the house, don't you? Every time. And it doesn't matter if they're 3 weeks old, 3 months old, or 10 years or 30 years. They're still your babies, right? That's just the way it works. That's a mother's love. Another one, I won't go too deeply into it, but Hannah, who's the mother of Samuel the prophet. You can read 1 Samuel 1 and 2. She prays and prays and prays for a son because she can't have a child. Finally, she says, "Lord, if you give me a child, I will dedicate him right back to you. I will give him right back to you and dedicate him to the Lord forever." And the Lord answers her prayer, and she fulfills her promise. She gives Samuel back to God. She goes and finds Eli the priest and says, "Here he will serve you. He will serve you forever." And then that becomes Samuel the prophet who we read about in Scripture. You've already heard about Timothy's mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice, their spiritual guidance and nurturing of a future church leader, and how that was absolutely necessary for him to grow into who God called him to be. And of course, we see Mary, the mother of Christ Jesus, right? Mary conceived and gave birth to Jesus Christ through faith, knowing that the angel came to her and said, "This is going to happen." So through her pains of childbirth, she knew what the angel had told her about this child. She didn't know the entire destiny, but after 30 years of nurturing and raising this child, she has to release him into his calling. And she had to watch her blessing of a son walk in that destiny, walk right into what ultimately led to his crucifixion. And she had to watch that. I know she wasn't happy about it, but we don't see her at any point in Scripture trying to stop it, trying to do anything about it. She understood that this baby, Jesus, was not hers from the beginning, that she was a steward of this child that the Lord gave her. And if the Lord wanted to ordain that things moved in this direction, it hurts. Doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt or it's not difficult, but she understood that that was what had to happen. And there are so many more examples of godly mothers in Scripture, but what they all share is this example of great faith, but more than that, sacrificial love. I think nothing defines a mother's love for her child more than sacrificial love. There's a quote, this one's from Agatha Christie, if you know her. It goes like this: a mother's love for her child is like nothing else in the world. It knows no law, no pity. It dares all things and crushes down remorselessly all that stands in his path. Any of you who are moms, say, yeah, if necessary, that's me. I will crush you if you get in the way of my child, right? That's a mother's love. God's love is unconditional. We know this from Scripture. God's love is unconditional. 1 John 4:10, in this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. How does a mother's love reflect this? He loved us, sent his son. Mother's love reflects an example is anytime our kids are grown, release them into the world. We know that they have a purpose. We know they have a destiny. But rather than just to keep them at home and smother them, which might be your inclination, we know that we've got to let them go for what their destiny is. A mother's love, or God's love, that is everlasting. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to him long ago, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you out with kindness. How's that reflected in a mother's love for her children? Do you ever get to the point where you just said, okay, you're old enough now, you're on your own, and I mean, I kind of like you, but I don't love you anymore. Just go. And you know, don't even bother about sending me a card. Don't bother calling me. A mother's love never ends, does it? It literally never ends. No matter how old your children get, sometimes children make themselves hard to love. Am I wrong? Mothers have a way of seeing through that, saying I know that's not who you are. It's not who you're made to be. A mother's love is comforting, like God's love is comforting. Romans 8, 38-39, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. A mother's love reflects that simply by standing with her child no matter what. No matter what, to be there to comfort. God's love is faithful. Lamentations, normally not a super fun scripture always. Lamentations 3, 22, except for the ladies' Bible study who just got done, I think, in Lamentations. It says, the Lord's acts of mercy indeed do not end, for his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Moms, has your children ever asked you for something that you said, nah, I'm not going to, not, I want a BB gun when I'm 3 years old. You'll shoot your eye out, kid, right? But you will do anything, move heaven and earth to give your child what they ask for and to be there for them. Great is your faithfulness. God's love is pursuing. Matthew 18, 12 and 13. Most of you have heard this before. What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep, one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go search for the one that is lost? And if it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 that have not gone astray. We see that in reflected in a mother's love for her children all the time. You will do anything to make sure that you find them. I remember a story when I was, okay, I want to say I was about 4 years old. My parents took me to Yellowstone National Park. We were camping in a little tent trailer. And about, I don't know, a couple hundred yards away was the lake that's up there. And I, as 4 or 5, and I went down to the lake. They said, you know, I'm just going down there. Okay, you can go down to the lake. Well, I went down to the lake, and I decided, number one, I decided that I was hot, so I wanted to take off my jacket and my shirt. So I take those off, And I just drop them right on the shore of the lake, right? And then I wander off. And I decide, you know what? I'm going to wander into the campground, and I'm going to look around at all these other people and all their tents and camps and what they're doing. And, hey, those people are making popcorn. I'm going to sit down and have some popcorn. And so it gets dark, and I'm eating popcorn, and I'm watching the fire, and I'm hanging out and having marshmallows and all that. Meanwhile, my parents go down to the edge of the water, realize there's my jacket and my shirt, and I am nowhere to be found. They searched the entire campground one by one by one until they found me. Now, that's a funny story. Those of you who are moms, okay, where would your heart be in that moment, right? A mom's love never stops pursuing. God's love delights in us. It's what it says, Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. He'll be quiet in his love, but he will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. All you have to do is look at a mom watching her children play soccer or baseball or anything that they get into. Look at the refrigerator of a mom with all the, here's their field day, here's their first A report card. A mom never stops rejoicing over her children, never. But with all that, only God's love is perfect. Only God's love is perfect, which is why the enemy tries so hard to twist that mom's love. And sometimes he damages relationships to the point to where they don't look exactly like this anymore. Some of you may have a mom, or maybe you're that mom who doesn't necessarily reflect all these things all the time. And you're thinking that this is a hard message to listen to. That's because only God's love is perfect. Only God's love is immune from what the enemy wants to do to it. 1 John 4:17-19 says, by this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, we also are in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Only God's love is perfect. And whether father or mother, man or woman, adult or child, we can only love because he loved us first. It's our greatest, it's both our most difficult task and our greatest joy to love like he does. I want to share one final of all the quotes that I've shared with you. They all have their thing, like, that's a little bit questionable. I don't know if that's perfect, but I found one. And it's not scripture, but it is absolutely perfect. And that's how I wanted to end this. It's one that no one can deny. I challenge you to deny the appropriateness of this quote. Here it is. Nothing is really lost until your mom can't find it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the women in our lives that you have brought to love unconditionally, that you have brought to sacrifice for us, that you have brought to surround us, to raise us, to train us, to lead us. Lord, we are so grateful. And I just pray that everyone here today is able to see that the mothers in their lives, though maybe they struggled, were doing the best they could to reflect God's love and God's nature to us. So Lord, we are thankful for that. We are thankful that you put human beings in our midst and you gift them in ways that we can't often understand and we definitely can't explain, but with a heart of mercy and a heart of love. that reflect your very heart for us. So, Lord, we lift up moms today, wherever they go, wherever they are, those who are hurting, those who are rejoicing, whatever season they are in, Lord, we just lift them up to you, and we say thank you. May you bless them and bless their days. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to have prayer team in the back. If you need prayer, look for somebody with a lanyard. Whether that prayer is for healing, for relationships, for hurts, for pains, anything that is happening to you, that's what prayer is for. And they would be happy to share that time with you and help to lead you in a direction. Sometimes it's just difficult to know how to pray for ourselves, for the things that hurt. Like, I don't even know where to start. But they would be happy. It would be their honor to do that. We're going to move into communion. Most of you have done communion with us before. But Pastor Gabe and I will serve over here. I've asked Michael and Rhonda to serve over on this side. And we'll have wine and bread and gluten-free crackers up here. You don't need to be a member of this church, but you do need to be able to say that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And taking communion with us today is an affirmation of that. So we'll do that. If you don't, if you'd rather serve yourself or rather just have juice, we have that at the table in the back. So you're welcome to do that. I want to remind you of two things. One, as Pastor Gabe said, that we will be around to talk. Any of you that have questions about what was happening with Pastor Scott, we'll be around to talk. This is not a thing where we're not going to talk, we're not going to answer questions, and you're free to reach out to Pastor Scott if you want. We want to make sure there is no room for the enemy in this, right? So I'll be around. I'll answer questions. Don't forget the treat bags that are out there and the snacks, cake balls, I'm going to say, which I myself brought here. I was going to say I made them, but that'd be lying. That'd be wrong. I did buy them and bring them here for you moms. So please take advantage of that and just know that we bless you and we thank you. Thanks, guys.